What's up, everyone, and welcome to Mound Talk Podcast. This podcast is created by a college baseball player to interview professional pitchers, both current and former. In this podcast, we dive into their experience becoming a pro and their journey. Today, we have on Texas Rangers pitcher Brett Martin. Brett was selected in the fourth round of the 2014 draft from Walter State Community College in Tennessee. Brett made his major league debut in April of 2019 and has been a big part of the Texas Rangers bullpen since. In today's episode, we talk about Brett Martin's transition from going D1 out of high school to University of Tennessee and then transferring to junior college. Talk about getting drafted, dealing with failure, and how Brett prepares for games. Let's go ahead and get into it. All right, so we're here. We're joined with Brett Martin of the Texas Rangers. How are you doing today?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to get this episode in. So you grew up in Tennessee, and you ended up going to Walter State Community College. But before that, you had gone to University of Tennessee for a little bit. Talk us through the, experience of recruiting for that, and then what changed your plans to end up going to Walter State?
Yeah, so I live probably 45 minutes from the university. So it's, you know, growing up as a kid, always went to, like, the football games and even some of the baseball games and basketball games. So I've been, like, you know, diehard Tennessee fan my whole life, even though, you know, they're not the best at much, but that's okay. So that was kind of my dream school. That's where I wanted to go. And I had the opportunity out of high school to go, but it was a walk-on. Mm-hmm. But I figured, hey, you know, this is my dream school. This is where I want to go. Why not? I have the opportunity, even though it's not like a scholarship or anything like that. I didn't care. I just wanted to go and see how it play out. Well, I get to Tennessee and go through. I started in the summer, did summer classes, and then into the fall. But once I got into the fall, we started, you know, having practice and stuff. I started having some issues with my elbow. It was just tendonitis. And kind of rehabbed it for a little bit and tried to pitch again in October, and it still wasn't better. So long story short, they basically just let me go from the team. They said I had the choice to redshirt or I could leave. So I decided to leave. And then they just, you know, let me go from the program. And the next 2 months I was just a student, which was kind of weird. First time in my life just being a student without having a sport or anything to do. But after that I called Walter State. But let me back up a second. Coming out of high school, I had scholarship to Walter State.
Okay.
But I turned it down with Tennessee because it's my dream. So, but they said, you know, anytime I wanted to, I was welcome back. So I called them, told them what was going on, and they said, yep, you know, no problem. Come on. But since I left and didn't go to Walter State out of high school, then I lost that scholarship. So I was now a walk-on at Walter State. And then just took, you know, that November, December off after they let me go at Tennessee and just kind of didn't really do too much. Took it easy as far as throwing went to give my elbow some rest. And just started working out, trying to get stronger, prepare for the season. I was just wanting somewhere to go where I would at least get some playing time, you know.
Yeah.
Going to Tennessee, going into it, I kind of knew I probably wouldn't, you know, probably get to pitch that much or whatever. And I probably knew that even if I was healthy, that I might got redshirted anyways. But looking back on it now, I think if I could have done it over again, I probably would have went to Walter State first just to go, you know, go ahead and get acclimated, get my foot in the door there in the fall. Then, you know, maybe have had a solidified spot in the spring instead of coming from Tennessee and having to earn that. But, you know.
And you had a pretty decent team at Walter State, yeah?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was Brett Martin or you and then Brent Honeywell, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I want to say what was like a year after you, they had a couple guys drafted too.
Yeah, they had, I think after me and Brent, there was probably like, I would say another four or five guys.
Wow. And Brent was the fourth round. Was he fourth round? Or did he go higher?
I think he was second.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Or maybe he was fourth round. I don't know.
I mean, but having even just y'all two, you know, the same year, two JUCO yeah. arms in the first five rounds, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they've especially, I mean, they've always been kind of known for, you know, being pretty good, but, yeah, even these recent years, they've had a lot of mm-hmm. good draft picks come out of there.
So how would you compare, you know, the overall experience at not necessarily Tennessee as the school Tennessee, but just as like a D1, you know, program versus the JUCO program?
I would say to me, junior college is ran, or at least Walter State was ran more similar to like pro ball, like minor leagues would okay. be, I guess. You know, they're not, I don't know. There's just a difference. Tennessee, I feel like they were more, there was just a lot of things that we were doing that like felt like we were being babysat almost, which I get it. You know, they're mm-hmm. 18, 19, 20 year old kids. So like, yeah, I understand yeah. that. But at the same time, you're old enough to kind of know what you're doing. And I feel like there was some stuff that we would do like in big groups that was just like to keep us busy. You know, mm-hmm. like somebody else or some other infielders or whoever else is doing something different. But at Walter State, and even I was there yesterday at one of their practices, their first practice back. Okay. And, you know, they full inter squad yesterday. So, like, they're not really wasting
any
time.
And the first
time.
Day
like,
back?
Yeah.
Wow.
They're not wasting any time. They get in and get right after, which is, like, a lot like now being through the minor leagues, it's a lot similar to me, I feel like. Like, mm-hmm. you get spring training, and it's not like, you know, it's just, okay, we're going to do this, this, and this. No, it's this is what we're doing. And then we're going, you know, we're taking off.
And at least from like what I've seen and heard, you know, I'm at JUCO myself, but it seems like a lot of the D1s have just like crazy rules, especially in the fall, as in like, you know, like, oh, 8 hours this week of team practice total. And it's like, you know, yeah. maybe like that's fair, you know, because you got students that are, you know, also students. But overall, like baseball wise, I mean, that's not going to happen in pro ball. You're not going to get limited to 8 hours a week.
No. No, yeah. I mean, no, you're absolutely right. I just think that, you know, the rules are different. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, at the same time, I don't know. That was just my experience. I feel like – and I mean, yeah, you being there now, you probably, you know, it's just a little different.
Yeah, and there's – I mean, it's full rein. If they want to practice 6 hours today and then 1 hour tomorrow, no worries, they'll do it.
Yeah.
So you were undrafted out of high school and then drafted, what was it? You went 1 year at Walter State, right?
No, just a semester.
Oh, just a semester. Okay. So you were drafted, you know, the fourth round, the very next year out of after high school. Yeah. Was it maybe one of those like in the conversation out of high school, or what was like the difference?
No, I don't really know. In high school, I was throwing, you know, 83, maybe touching 85, maybe. And I mean, the coach we had was the best at like helping his players get, you know, some exposure. So I had to do a lot of that myself. Just whatever video I could get, I would send mm-hmm. it to literally every school I could think of. And then, I mean, you know, maybe I would get noticed if they were there watching somebody else. They would just be like, oh, well, here's this lefty, you know, those large, don't throw hard, but those large strikes. Well, I didn't even think twice really about getting drafted. Then I thought that was way down the road, you know. But go to Tennessee and all that happened, which is kind of a blessing in disguise, you know. And then go to Walter State, and while I'm pitching in the spring, you know, kind of these exhibition games and these scrimmages, getting ready for the season. We're playing like in smaller schools, and my velo started jumping up a little bit. I'd get up to like 88 and then 90, 93. And then there was a couple times, you know, kind of towards the end of the season, I was like 94, 95.
Wow.
And that started getting, you know, the attention going. And then the draft comes around, and I still getting like all these interests from these scouts that are just, you know, at these games. And before I got drafted, I was going to these, you know, these summer workouts that these teams were having, you know, here in the area, and still didn't think anything about it. And then the only team that was interested was the Rangers. And okay. the area scout here with Chris Kemp, which I believe he's with the Padres now. But I'd seen him and talked to him. Like, we went and played Spartanburg Methodist down in South Carolina, which is where C.D. Pelham, I played against him. Yeah. So that was cool. We've talked about that a couple times. But, yeah, I just talked to him there and see him around other places. You know, he'd just come up, talk to me, and just say, hey, you know, this is kind of what we're thinking. And the draft day comes, he calls me, and he was actually, you know, in the area. And he actually come over to the house, to mom and dad's house, and going back and forth. And we went to breakfast that morning before the draft, and he was like, listen, like, the Rangers need to know what, you know, you'll sign for. So, like, we went back and forth, and he's like, okay, I'll tell them. And they had agreed, and then the draft starts. And we're sitting there, and he's just like, you know, he's like, they just called me. So they're going to take in, we're going to take in third round. I was like, okay.
Wow.
You know, that's cool. Then the third round comes, and they picked, let's see, Josh Morgan.
That's what I was going to guess, Josh Morgan.
Yeah, one of my really good friends, they picked him. And then he's like looking at me, and I'm looking at him like, uh-oh, now what? And then they called back, sorry, we're going to take him the fourth round. And they ended up doing that, which, you know, it was crazy. And I didn't expect it at all. I don't think, you know, I don't think my parents did. It was just kind of one of those things.
That's crazy. So out of high, you know, so what, like in that 1 year you gained, you know, roughly what, 10 miles an hour on your topping out?
I don't know if it was from like I worked, we had a good, our baseball coach at high school is our strength and conditioning coach. And he was like very knowledgeable about, you know, weightlifting and, how that would translate over into baseball. And so like, I wasn't a stranger to lifting weights. I mean, I was still super skinny, but like I knew the techniques and stuff like that. So I get to Tennessee and the guy there is like, he's very good. And I felt like I probably gained 10 pounds just being at Tennessee within, you know, a few months. And then going to Walter State and then being a little more hands-on because there's not as many guys as there was at Tennessee, then I was actually able to get something out of, like, a throwing program. Like, I don't really remember having a throwing program at Tennessee. Like, I just felt like I'd just go out there and just throw. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. I go to Walter State and – get with their pitching coach, and we started on the throwing program. And then, like, you know, within a couple of months, my velocity starts, you know, climbing up. So I think it was a combination of the workouts and gaining 10 pounds and getting stronger at Tennessee, paired with that throwing program and the stuff that I was doing at Walter State in the spring.
And honestly, it sounds like maybe even just like that little 2 month rest for your elbow.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I definitely needed that too.
That's awesome. So what was it like, you know, I guess a weekend series when you've got you and Honeywell? Y'all were both starting at the time, right?
I would start during the week. And then on the weekends, I would come out of the bullpen.
Okay. So I guess now, like, looking forward now, relieving's not that foreign for you when you switched over.
No, it was at Walter State at first. I had no idea what I was doing. You know, I've been a starter my entire life, like Little League all the way until Walter State. And then I still started at Walter State, and then I'd throw like three or four innings starting, and then I'd go to the bullpen and throw, you know, one or two on the weekends out of the pen. So,
yeah, I guess just instead of getting your pen in on the weekend at practice, you're just doing a game.
Right. And then I get drafted, and that was I was in the bullpen as well for – a little bit before I started in the Arizona League. Yeah. So it was kind of, but being a reliever now, it wasn't that foreign to me. I just had to kind of go back 6 years or whatever. But yeah, getting drafted and going straight to the bullpen, it was kind of, I didn't really have to think about anything too much. I just go out there and just, you know, try to throw the ball as hard as you can over the plate and try to get them out and, you know, less amount of pitches as you can. I was just going to say, just still try to keep it that simple even now.
So now that you're drafted, the Rangers, I mean, so what do they tell you as in like their, I guess, approach for you, you know, the next few months? I mean, because you're what, 19, 20 at the time?
Right now? Oh, yeah, at the time, yeah.
Yeah, and so like what is their like goal for you, and what are they working on this, I guess, half season left that they have that year?
Just so at the point, like the later half of that season, I went back to a starting role. So going into that off season was just making sure, you know, that I was ready to go come spring training, and just be able to show up to spring training and go about three innings, you know, because you get there and you'll do like a bullpen, two or three bullpens and a couple of IVPs, and then you'll get the game. With starters, they'll try to stretch them out, you know, at least to five innings before you leave and go to your affiliate. But the main focus of that off season was just, you know, build off of what I had already done, develop a starting routine from, you know, day one, from start day all the way to the next start day and everything in between. They did really good about giving me a bunch of information as far as like conditioning, arm care, workouts, you know, all that kind of stuff. So them giving me basically like a template and just going off of that and kind of picking and choosing what works for me, what doesn't work for me. You know, if, you know, like sometimes I have back problems, and that's one thing that took me a few years to kind of get figured out, that I can't back squat anymore because it causes problems like on the mound. So I deadlift and do a lot of split squats instead, and I haven't had any back issues in a few years. So it's just, stuff like that.
Are you a fan of the trap bar deadlift or straight bar?
Trap bar.
Okay. And then what about the do you do the front squat now?
See, I did those last off season. I did a lot of front squats and trap bar deadlift, but I haven't any this year. It was fine last off season. Didn't really cause me too many problems, but still get a little tight. But now I just try to stay away from it altogether, which could be good or bad. Could be, you know, either not staying as strong by doing that, or could cause an injury. So I don't know.
That's true. So kind of fast forward, you know, your first couple of years in the minors, you go, I guess, through, was it down east year? That's when y'all won. Or I guess, didn't that game get canceled and you kind of like tied for the winners?
Yeah. There was that hurricane was coming. Yeah.
But so to that point, you kind of cruised through the minors, it seems like.
Yeah, I guess. I just remember in 15, I had or. 16, I had another elbow issue, so I went to rehab for 3 months. And then when I came out, I went to high for, I guess there was only a month left of the season at that point. And then started in high again in 17. And then 18 was just my first year in double A, and that was terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to ask that about that next.
A nightmare.
So was that – so from at least for me, like, you know, I was at a lot of – it seemed like every game I was at was the one you were pitching in. Was that I know you started out as a starter for that season, right? And then you moved to the pen towards, like, I guess, like all-star break.
Mm-hmm.
Was that one of those, like, what can you say now looking back was one of those, like, why wasn't I getting it together? Like, what was not clicking?
I don't know. I think it was the hitters are a lot better and they're a lot smarter in double A. I learned very quickly that you have to be able to throw more than one pitch for a strike at any time. Like, you know, so if I would fall behind 3-0 or 2-0, you know, the hitter knew a fastball was coming, and so did everybody in the stadium, because I couldn't throw my curveball for a strike. I had a split changeup that wasn't even that good. It was very consistent. And then I didn't have a slider at this time at all.
Okay.
So I really only had like two pitches, you know, and I just had to try to locate all the time. And I just, if I fell behind, I was screwed. I couldn't get back in the count with the curveball. I couldn't throw my changeup for strikes consistently, and that really come back to bite me when I, you know, would fall behind or whatever, because I had nothing else to show. I had to throw a fastball.
So what was like the talk, you know, like from seeing like a couple of the same results after some starts, what was the talks from the Rangers on, like, you know, them trying to, I guess, change how their things are going or even change you to the bullpen? What was like, what were they talking to you about?
Just working on throwing that changeup more consistently. Same thing with the curveball. I mean, it was basically like, you know, like I was doing so bad, like I couldn't get any worse. So, you know, who cares? Just throw the changeup over the plate instead of, like, you know, I try to place it and be perfect and try to make it nasty, and it never worked. So they just like, who cares? Just throw it over the plate and just watch what happens. Just, I had to build that confidence in myself. And then, you know, it still wasn't the best. And then they actually come to me and said, hey, we're going to put you in the bullpen. It's not permanent. It's just temporary. You know, we want you to just kind of, you know, figure it out on your own. And there was a lot of people, a lot of pitching coaches and coordinators, also probably five or six different ones telling me like this, that, and the other. When they would come to town, they'd say, okay, you got to do this. Well, the next one would come to town and say, you got to do this. And then my pitching coach would tell me something completely different. So like all that was going on too. I'm not blaming on them at all. It's not their fault. It was just, obviously I get it. They're all trying to help me.
Yeah.
But I think pitching that bad was the best thing that could ever happen, because I got to go to the bullpen and not even worry, not even think about anything. Yeah. I just got to get loose as fast as I could and then go in the game and just throw the ball as hard as I could over the plate. And that adrenaline rush and that feeling and just being able to not even care. No, I'm not going to say not care, but not really have to worry about, okay, I'd have already faced the lineup one time. You know, I struck out so-and-so with a changeup on a 2-2 count. You know, if I get to 2-2 again, he's probably looking, you know, I can't sit there and think about what I've threw to him the last two innings or whatever.
It's easy to see the click, because once you like went to the pen, I mean, that was what, like you said, middle of the season, towards the end of the season. And I mean, obviously the next year starting in Nashville and then, you know, up a few games after Nashville, you know, and you've taken off since. So, I mean, you can see like, you know, it looks like from like a fan's perspective that like once you, you know, realize like it's not thinking in the bullpen, it's just, you know, attacking.
Yeah. You've taken off. I mean, I think even as a starter, I think it's the same thing, but you have to obviously think a little bit more and have a plan of how you're going to attack. But being out of the bullpen, you can just kind of, you still have a plan. You still, you know, do your scouting report and watch some video, but at the same time, you know, it really is a reliever. You're just going to try to go up there and get them out and be efficient, you know, try not to just sit up there and throw 30 or 40 pitches. Like, you want to be efficient, get them out as quickly as possible. And it doesn't matter. Like, you can show them all your pitches right away and it doesn't matter. You're not, you're probably not going to see them again in two innings. You know, you're probably going to be done. You might see them again, you know, the next day or later that year. So you kind of gotta, it's easier then to go back and look at video and see how you got them out. And once you've, you know, you play enough teams enough, you kind of realize and recognize, you know, who does what well and who doesn't do what very good. So it's just, you remember little things like that, but sitting there and trying to remember an entire lineup for, and you're probably going to face them two or three times in a game. That's hard.
So how did your pregame and I guess even postgame routine differ once you're in the bullpen? So like showing up around 2-3 o'clock, talk me through your, you know, your main parts through the day and then after the game.
In the bullpen?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just show up to the ballpark, you know, 1 o'clock, whatever, grab some lunch. Usually I only work out on Tuesdays and Fridays. So if it's Tuesday or Friday, I'll go lift.
Does that lift schedule differ? You know, we have a game this Tuesday, we're off Tuesday. Or if you're pitching that night?
No, it's the same. The only thing that'll differ is like if I pitch Monday night, or say I pitch Sunday and Monday, I threw back-to-back days, I know for sure I'm not pitching Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Then like I'll go in there and lift a little, like a lot heavier than what I normally would, or try to get after it a little bit more. But if I threw Sunday and didn't throw Monday, and I have to work out Tuesday, and I know, okay, I'm probably going to pitch Tuesday, then I'll just do like my normal workout, but I'll keep the weight kind of moderate. I won't go crazy. No matter what, Tuesdays and Fridays, I'm going to lift. And then usually 3 o'clock, 3:30, we stretch, throw, shag BP, come back inside, you know, eat lunch, get ready for the, or eat dinner, get ready for the game, shower up, whatever. And then go out to the bullpen for the game. But before all that, before stretch, like I usually go in the weight room an hour before, just kind of, you know, foam roll, do like some mobility exercises, stretch, get my shoulder going, activate, all that kind of stuff. And then I go out and I'm ready to throw. And then once the game starts, I get into the bullpen, usually fourth inning, just depends. fourth or fifth inning, depends on how the game's going, depends on who's pitching. I'll get up, start moving around, go through like a dynamic warm-up, kind of pay attention to how the game's going. If it's going slow, then I'll kind of stop, slow down what I'm doing, you know, because I don't want to stretch and then sit down and feel like I have to get up and stretch again, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I kind of pay attention to the game, see how it's going. You know, obviously if pitcher gets in trouble and if I think it might be me, then I'll kind of hurry it up a little bit, go through my arm care or my arm warm-up routine. And then basically by that point, I'm ready to go. Like if they call my name, I'm getting on the mound and I can take off.
Okay. So you're saying you throw, you know, while or before BP is going on, what, you know, so say you're assuming you're going to go in the game that night, or you have a good chance at least. What do you, I mean, how do you throw? Do you throw a long toss? Is it just short, kind of get the arm moving? What is that like?
I've done a couple different things. Like in 2019, I threw with Jose Leclerc. He's my throwing partner every day. So,
okay.
And he only, like, very rarely would we long toss, but most of the times we would stay like 90 to 100 feet max. And then if we long toss, we go to like 120, 130, maybe 150. But that's just something you kind of communicate with your partner, and if that's what they want to do, then fine. But just depends on the day. Depends on how I feel. You know, if I threw the night before and think I'm probably going to get in the next day, then I'll probably keep it short, 90 feet. If it's been a couple of days, then I'll try to stretch it out and long toss a little bit. But it all just depends, you know. If I throw in 2 days in a row, I'm going to keep it real short.
Yeah.
Probably 60 feet.
So when you do that, so say you're, you know, you threw the, I guess, 2 days before, and then you're thinking you're going in tonight, for example, and you're at, say, 100 feet. Is that just to move your arm, or are you working on some pitches? Like, what's the intent behind that?
No, just mostly, like, when I'm going out in my catch, I'm just – the whole time I'm going out, I'm just trying to use my legs and then – make sure that I'm getting the most extension I can. That way, like, I can feel everything being out front. So okay. That's why going out to 100, I mean, the whole time I'm going back, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to use most of my legs. That way I don't have to, like, really use my arm. I can just kind of let my arm get out there and get that extension. Now when I come back in, when I start working my way back in, that's when I'll start really getting on it and pulling down. And same thing, make sure I'm getting out front, getting that extension, but I'm also ripping down the ball and, you know, kind of letting it eat a little bit. And then once I get to about 90 feet, I'll start shuffling my feet and throwing like some two seams, stuff like, I don't have a changeup anymore, so I wouldn't do that, but just kind of doing that. And then get about 60 feet. I always, every day, usually throw, you know, three curveballs and three sliders, no matter what they are. And then, you know, I'm done. If I want to throw a flat ground, then I'll throw a flat ground and throw like two or three of every pitch, and then just kind of be done with it.
So it's kind of just overall short, get a quick feel, get a couple pitches in, and then let's stay ready, or I guess like stay easy, that way we're ready for the game.
Yeah, because I mean, you think about it, like, you, that's really when you get your work in, is when you're playing catch. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're not taking your catch serious, or if you're not working on what you need to work on, then it's not going to translate to the mound. So like everything I do is the same thing every day. Like my throwing motion is exactly how I would throw on the mound with every throw, no matter if I'm going out or coming in, everything's the same. That way, like, cause that's where you get working. Cause you get on the mound and you're struggling, like, that's not the time to figure it out. You know what I mean? So yeah, just, and you gotta pay attention to how your arm's feeling. Cause you can't just sit up there and just like rip, you know, 10 curveballs. Cause it's not working that day. Like some days you just don't have it. You just kind of have to get that feel. It might come later in the at night before you get in the game. But yeah, that's when you get your work in. So you got to be careful and keep it, you know, try to keep it short, but at the same time, feel like you're getting what you need to out of it. Just kind of saving your bullets, because, you know, you're more than likely going to pitch that night, or maybe you threw the day before or 2 days before or whatever. Or maybe you threw back-to-back days and you still want to try to work on something. Still keep it light and still get your work in.
So, you know, say it's the end of the game, you pitch one, maybe two innings. What is your post-game routine as soon as you're, you know, like, in the clubhouse look like?
It also depends. I mean, if I've thrown back-to-back days and I know I'm not going to pitch the next day, then I'll go pretty heavy on the arm care. Usually do some stuff with trainers. And then, like, if I've thrown maybe – so let's say, like, yesterday, I get up and I got loose, but I didn't go in the game, but I threw off the mound. You know, I might do a little bit of arm care because you don't want to overdo it, because you still, like, you might be doing bands to get loose, you know. But that's still kind of arm care. You're still working those same muscles. And then you're getting up and throwing 10 or 15 pitches, but you don't go in. Okay, so I'll do something light if I think I'll get in the next day. So if I end up pitching the next day, then I might take a break from arm care. I know it kind of sounds backward, but you've kind of thrown 2 days in a row. And, like, if you do the same routine every day, you're also getting your arm loose at 3 o'clock to throw before BP. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to do it again during the game. Then arm care after. I mean, that's just, you're doing a lot for your arm. So sometimes less is more.
Yeah.
So it all kind of depends. Yeah. I mean, yeah. If I didn't throw that much the night before and I feel my arm, if my arm feels really good, I won't do nothing.
Okay.
And just kind of go from there.
Are you a fan of cupping or dry needling?
Both. Yeah.
Both.
I'll do dry needling on my back, and then I'll get cupping done. It's kind of different this season just because all the COVID regulations and stuff. And I think I might have got it done one time, but I'll get done spring training, stuff like that, even during the off season. There's a guy I go to who does a really good job.
So not really in the season though?
It's just hard in the season because it leaves me like very sore.
Mm-hmm.
So like if I throw, I don't know, say I throw last night, or maybe I've thrown back-to-back days, just keep giving that example. And, you know, I need to kind of flush some of that stuff out of there while I do it. But like the next day I'm going to be extra sore.
Yeah.
From throwing and from the cupping. So it's just, I don't know. It depends. It's best to do it. I try to do it before, like if we have an off day. So that way, like, I don't do anything at all, and it just can kind of flush itself out, and then I can deal with the soreness, and then that next day I'm usually okay.
Okay, so a little bit back towards, you know, we're talking about your minor league career. 2019, you started out at Nashville, which is, how far is that from your hometown?
About 3.5 hours.
Okay, so it's not as close as I was thinking, but how was it, you know, still playing in Tennessee?
It was cool. It was awesome. My wife, she was there about every weekend when we were playing. My mom and dad were there every weekend when we were playing, which when I played in Hickory, mom and dad was there at every start, every game I pitched. Okay. So it was, 'cause it was 2.5 hours. So that was cool. And they, you know, they'd come to Kinston when I was there, and they come to Texas when I was out there in AA and stuff. But for them to be able to be there, you know, every time I basically was getting able to pitch was cool, especially on the weekends.
That's awesome. You got called up. What was it? Pretty early into Nashville, though, right?
Mm-hmm. I think it was like middle of April.
Yeah. Okay. So, what was that phone call like, or was it, you know, calling to the office?
Yeah. The farm director had called me, or like the night before. He was like, you know, what time do you get to the field every day? And I was like, 1 o'clock. He was like, okay. He's like, how about? He's like, be here at 1 o'clock tomorrow and don't be late. I was like, I mean, I just told you I get here at 1 o'clock every day. You know what I mean? He told me that, and I was like, all right, you know, I'll be here at one. Well, one of our coordinators was in town, and he had parked in the same parking lot, and we started walking in together. Well, we got caught up in this conversation, and we stood outside and talked for 15 minutes while I walked in the door with him. And our farm director's like looking at his watch, and I was like, what? And he was like, thought you're gonna be here at one. I was like, yeah. I was talking to Jeff out in the parking lot, and Jeff was like, yeah, like, what's the big deal? Like, I don't even think he knew either.
Oh, so gosh.
He was just like, okay. And then our AAA manager walks in. He's like, hey, come office. So he was like, yeah, he's like, we're gonna have to take you off the roster. I'm like, what? I was like, I'm getting traded, I guess. But he's like, you're getting taken off the roster. And he's like, we're not going to need you tonight. I was just kind of looking at him. He's like, that's because, you know, Texas is going to need you.
Wow.
I like, started smiling. I was like, you serious? Because sound like you're joking or whatever. But so that's that when I ran outside and then I called my wife and my parents, and they were out. All of them were out in Texas the next day. So it was pretty cool.
And you had a pretty special debut too. It was what, 3-up, 3-down against the Astros.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't just like the 7, 8, 9 hitters either.
Yeah, that was, I remember just sitting in the bullpen, and I remember watching the game. I think we were losing. And I was like, well, if I get a chance to pitch, it's probably going to be right here. And phone rings, my heart, my stomach drops. And I'm thinking, oh, man, it's me. Well, it's somebody else. It's like, all right, well, maybe I'm not pitching tonight. Phone rings again. It was me. So I get up, start getting loose, you know, start throwing stuff. And in my head, I'm just thinking, man, might as well enjoy this. Because, you know, baseball is a business. I was like, I didn't know if I was going to be sitting down the next day. I didn't know if they were just needing me for one night. You know what I mean? So I was like, well, go ahead and enjoy this. Throw the ball over the plate. You know, see what happens. So that's kind of – I wasn't really nervous. I think I was more anxious and excited. I was nervous. I was really nervous about falling, tripping on the way to the mound, like running out there. That was the only thing I was worried about. But once I got out there, it was just kind of like, all right, this is baseball. And then, you know, you see Springer and then step in the box, and you're like, gosh. All right, yeah, this is the big leagues now, and you're facing these guys that just won a World Series a couple of years ago.
So did you pitch the night you showed up?
No, I didn't. I think I showed up. I think they were on the road and they were coming back home that night. The next day was the start of the homestead.
So, but like your first like big league day was the day, but yes, the night you played.
Yeah. My first day on the team, I pitched.
So how was that? Cause I've heard a lot of times they'll, you know, unless they really need to pull someone in, they'll try to give them like one game just to kind of like be on the bench, kind of take it in, and then the next game they're going. How was it? You think it worked out better with the like adrenaline and all that, just pitching that day and being done?
Yeah, I do, just because like it's happened to some guys where they'll come up and they'll sit for, you know, 2-3 days, and every time the phone rings, they're the ones getting up and throwing because they, you know, they want to get them in the game. I'm glad that I was able to get in that first night and just get those nerves out of the way. And then, you know, after that, it was just like, okay, let's just keep pitching, just keep having fun, just enjoy it. Cause it's still, I was thinking, you know, maybe they just need me for a week and they'll send me back down. Like, I didn't know what to think.
Was there someone there that kind of like, I guess another teammate or, I mean, pitcher that kind of just took you under your wing, was like, hey, like, just, it's not that big of a deal compared to pitching, you know, just a normal game, or anyone that just kind of gave you the ropes, I guess you'd say?
Yeah. Jeffrey Springs, he had broke with the team, and he's one of my good buddies too. He's with the Red Sox now. But yeah, he was really good about that, just kind of because he had been there for, you know, a few weeks now, and I guess the veteran guys kind of showed him the ropes. So when I got called up, you know, he was kind of, and it helps too, seeing those guys in spring training and talking to them, being around them and being on the field with them in spring training and for, you know, a month and a half or 2 months, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, it helped a lot. Like he was really, really helpful, especially being down in the bullpen. And Oscar Marine, our bullpen coach, was my pitching coach in 2015 in Hickory.
Okay.
So having him and seeing a familiar face also made me feel a lot more comfortable, because I feel like I could go up to him and ask him really anything. And like, because sometimes you don't want to say something stupid or ask a stupid question, and like, especially in that kind of setting. So like, to him, for Spring, him and Springs to be there, that helped me a lot.
That's awesome. So was it a little more memorable for you? You know, I guess, you know, your debut, you'll take it wherever, but like, was it a little more special taking it, you know, in Arlington, a little closer than home than some stadiums could be, but also like the home game for your team?
Yeah, it was. It was cool to be able to make my debut like at home, in that stadium with my family there, my brother, you know, my grandparents, and also like my pitching coach from 2015, and I played in Springs in 2015. Like, that's just cool. It was awesome.
Did you end up getting that jersey framed and on the wall?
I haven't yet. I've got it. I have it upstairs. I end up doing like for Christmas last year. I got my parents and grandparents some jerseys that were framed, but I still have that one upstairs. I haven't gotten to it yet, but I will.
That's awesome. Okay, so we've gone through a little bit, just kind of like your career, you know, to where you are now. So now I wanted to ask in a few more, like, I guess, in-depth questions, I guess, for other baseball players out there, or just fans that want to know. So, you know, we talked a little bit about you had a few injuries here and there, and then, you know, that year in Frisco with just injuries and setbacks, what is like the biggest tip you can give on, like, you know, staying mentally positive and just kind of like still showing up every day with a new approach? Like, today's a new day. You know, how do you stay strong and how do you stay focused during that?
The way I kind of looked at it was like everything happens for a reason. Like going back to when I was at Tennessee, I had the elbow issue. Didn't really allow me to pitch. I couldn't earn a spot that way. So me getting hurt was the best thing that happened because I got drafted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I didn't get hurt, probably when everyone went to Walter State, maybe I don't get drafted. So that was a good thing. 2016, the same thing with my elbow. Tendonitis, I was a little more serious tendonitis, but 3 months in rehab, get out of rehab, go play for a month, the rest of the season, end up winning the championship in high. So, like, you know, there's always – I feel like if something bad happens, something good has to happen.
Yeah.
And especially if you're putting in the work and sticking with it every day, like it – being in rehab in Arizona in the middle of summer when it's 120 degrees sucks. It is awful. It's the worst thing in the world. But I think it helped too because the guys that were there when I was in rehab too were also some really good guys. So they made it, you know, they made it fun. The rehab coordinators and all the guys, the trainers, everybody in Arizona makes it fun. It's not just dull and you don't drag going. But they just got to find a way to stay positive somehow.
So if you could go back and talk to your senior year of high school, you know, and you can't cheat by just saying, like, you know, like, hey, you're going to be in the majors in a few years. But what would you say, you know, in the sense of like motivation or like, I wish I knew this earlier, since if you could talk to yourself in high school?
I would say I always felt like I worked pretty hard. Mm-hmm. So work even harder. I mean, just never be satisfied, no matter if it was baseball or whatever. Just always not giving up either. I think that's a lot of the reason why I'm here. Just not giving up on the dreams that I've had and always wanting to work hard no matter what. I mean, I can remember even in high school when I used to hit, like, I'd have a terrible game, go for three, and I'd tell Dad, we're going to go to the cage after the game. So don't leave just yet. And we would go and we'd hit the cage until, you know, I was satisfied and ready to go home. Mm-hmm. And I did that all the time. And it's funny because I've probably hit more than I've thrown and worked on pitching. So, like, for me to be a pitcher now, it's kind of funny.
Was playing the field? I mean, what position were you? Were you the outfield?
No, I played first base.
Okay. Was that something like in high school? Was that like, oh, like in college, I want to play first? Or was it just kind of like, I know I'm going to pitch? Oh,
no, I didn't. I mean, I had fun playing first. I loved it. It was awesome. I wasn't the best hitter. I like pitching a lot more because, you know, you have the ball in your hand, you're in control. Like, nothing can happen until you throw that ball. So I like that aspect of pitching. And I just knew when I got to college, I was like, I don't care. You know, my dad kept saying, just stick with it, play first base. You never know what can happen. You can go either way. You could be a two-way player. I'm in my head, like, or I could just put all my energy and focus into pitching and be really good at that. You know what I mean? So that was my thought.
So that, going back to your original answer of just telling yourself to work harder, I think is a perfect outlet. So for those, you know, like, everyone knows, like, oh, pro guys work hard. You know, they work hard in the weight room. But, you know, a high school kid thinking they're working hard enough of, you know, 1 hour in the gym and then 20 minutes of catch. What's like a ballpark, you know, time, I guess, even if you want to like give it out a whole day plan, what's the ballpark time you spend a day, you know, working out, throwing, recovery? What's, you know, how much do you put in a day?
So right now I'm usually getting up anywhere from 7:30 to 8 going to the gym. I'm at the gym for, and my wife's over here laughing at me because sometimes I sleep in. but I still go to the gym. I could be at the gym anywhere from like, I don't know, hour and a half usually. It's probably how long I'm there, and that's, you know, stretching, working out, cardio. And then I'll come home, eat breakfast, and that's when I'll do like some mobility stuff, yoga, stretch, and probably do that for another hour. And then I'll leave again and I'll go throw. And then I'm probably gone doing that for an hour.
So that's what, you know, like 3.5 hours a day.
Yeah.
And so when you, go ahead.
No, sorry. No, I wasn't going to say nothing. You're good.
When you do your mobility and yoga, is that necessarily like a class or like a program you've got, or are you just kind of like, you know, you like these stretches and movements?
That's just something that I have to do because of my back. Sometimes it just gets tight, and that's one of the things that's that I found that's helped me kind of stay on top of that and prevent, but basically just preventative work, really.
Okay.
But yeah, I like to. I'll just turn on the TV here in the living room and just get down on the floor, and I'll start doing some yoga. I'll just go to YouTube and type in, like, if my hamstrings are tight, I'll do yoga for hamstrings. Or if my back's tight, then I'll do yoga for my back. I just kind of find
that's awesome.
Whatever I can on YouTube and just lay on the floor and do it.
That's an easy way to get it done too, just having the TV going. So it's not so much like shut down, have to do this.
Yeah. It's not bad at all. And like kind of in Morristown, I don't know of anybody that has yoga classes that they teach or do. I have no idea. Yeah. I mean, I would go if they did. It's kind of one of those things, like, you know, you're here at the house and you're like, oh, I can do it after lunch, or I can do it later tonight. And then you sometimes don't do it. So, like, I don't have anywhere I can go do yoga, which it kind of sucks. But, yeah, just get down on the floor and do it in the living room.
And so you said that you wake up, you go to the gym. Are you not a big breakfast before the gym guy when it comes to morning weights?
Last off season, I used to drive to Knoxville, which is like, you know, 45 minutes. So I would wake up early and cook breakfast and eat it. And then because I would get down there and we would throw before we work out, and then we'd work out, and then I'd leave and then have another hour drive back home. So I wouldn't be getting home until 12 or 1 o'clock some days, and I would be starving. But, you know, I go work out 15 minutes from here. So I just wake up, go to the gym, work out, and come home and just cook, you know, eggs, bacon, kind of oatmeal, stuff like that.
Okay. And so two more questions. One's going to be extremely, I guess, fun or, you know, lightly. But on this next one, if you can go, you know, share one, I guess, training tool in the sense of, you know, like maybe it's a foam roller, maybe it's J-bands, maybe it's more in depth and not as known. If you could share one tool, you know, just one recommendation to any pitcher that is interested, what would that be?
I would have to say just like some J-bands or any kind of bands. I feel like they're pretty versatile. I mean, there's a lot that you can do with them. You can, you know, arm care. You can even do like some, like even when I was home during the summer quarantine, like that was what I would do my curls with. I would step on it and I would do curls. Like, I mean, you can do almost anything with them, you know, as creative as you want to get. So yeah, I would say any form of any kind of bands.
And so for the last one, are there any guys on the like 25 man roster, you know, that changes, you know, daily during the season, but any guys that you have multiple times gone hunting or fishing with?
Mike Miner, we went fishing together last off season. He drove down here. He lives in Knoxville. So he drove down here to where I live, and we went fishing with my dad. And then one of the security guards that works at the field in Arlington has like these farm ponds like north of Fort Worth. And he took us out there and we went fishing there a couple times. But we didn't get to go. Actually, we went again and I think we were in Seattle. We were in Seattle. He had brought two like travel poles that just folded up or whatever. And we like took an Uber to this golf course at night and snuck out on the golf course and was fishing or whatever. And we come to find out that the pond has like tarp on the bottom and there's no fish in there at all.
Oh gosh.
But it was dark. I mean, we didn't know. We fished it for probably 20 30 minutes and I have no idea.
So on that last real quick, is there any like teammates maybe in like spring training that have wanted to go with you, you know, hunting or fishing and just, you know, been awful, or at least someone that like jokes about it in the clubhouse that's like, oh, I'm going to go. And then just like, you know, like, dude, like you can't go hunting with me.
No, not really. CD, me and him actually went fishing a lot. We were in doubleheader together. He's pretty good. He's good. But no,
thinking about that roster with Frisco, I feel like Guzman would ask to go fishing all the time.
Okay. No, you know what? That does Jonathan Hernandez.
Okay. Yeah.
Jonathan Hernandez. I took him fishing in 2016 when we were in Hickory. He wanted to go with me and Joe Palumbo. And we was like, all right, you know, we'll take you or whatever. We took him to Walmart so he gets fishing lessons and so he can get like a pole and, you know, all that stuff. And we were going to go catfishing. We went at night. So we bought like chicken livers and stuff. We went out on this dock and we just throw out in the water. And he, you know, I don't think he's ever really fished before in his life. I'm sitting there for not even 5 minutes. And he's like, okay. He's like, now what?
Oh, gosh.
I was like, well, man, we got to wait. We got to wait till they come up and take the bait. And he's like, okay, when's that going to be? But it was so funny. He just didn't know. And he was getting so mad and aggravated because he would throw it out there and leave it out there for 2 minutes and reel it back in. I'm like, no, you got to leave it out just a little longer.
The same way.
And he's always wanted to go back. And we've never had the time to go. But he's one of my really good buddies. He's pretty funny.
I'm going to throw one of your, I guess at the end of the season, one of your current teammates under the bus that I feel like would be the same way as DeMarcus Evans.
Yeah, I could see that.
I feel like, you know, going hunting with him, he would just want to talk the whole time.
Yeah, he probably would. I've seen on his Instagram, though, he was – I think there were some shooting range. He was shooting some guns. So I think he likes
– Yeah.
I think he's kind of an outdoorsy person, but I don't know as far as, you know, how successful he'd be because he's kind of – you know, he talks a lot. But there ain't nothing
I feel like he would love to go, but in the sense of, like, you being someone who hunts and fishes a lot, I feel like it would be one of those, like, dude, like – you can't talk. You can't be like making noises. You can't be like, you know, just shooting just for fun. Like you gotta learn the ways.
Yeah. I think that's pretty funny that you say that. I'd like to take him now if I could, but
if you do, I'd love to hear.
Yeah. I'll have to let you know.
All right. Well, I just wanted to thank you for coming on.
Yeah, man. No problem. That was fun. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of Mountain Talk Podcast. To find more on Brett Martin, you can find his Instagram at Brett_Martin31. And to find more Mountain Talk Podcasts, you can find us on all podcast streaming services, YouTube, and Instagram at Mountain Talk Podcast.